Well, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. See the people, hear the praise, feel the Spirit. It's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? I want to talk to you this morning, just a little talk. Won't do a whole lot. You know how that'll go. My little talks. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 16. This year has gone by so miserably, I mean so quickly. It's so hard to believe that it's been a year. A year. Because I remember where we were at last year when we preached the Palm Sunday message. So it's been a long time. A slow time. A time for some healing, a time for some cleansing, a time for recessing, and seeing where we stand with the Lord. You know, the Bible says, let every man examine his own self and see if he's in the faith. There's nothing that our God wants more than us to be in the faith. And that's not the faith of us, it's the faith of his Son. And that's what he desires more than anything. Do not think he sent his Son in this earth to die for our sins without that his desire for every single person. Because every person is separated from God. So we have to ask ourselves these questions. What is it that I think about him? Where is he? And is he really real? Here's what I believe with all my heart. If we believe that he is God, how many here believe he's God? Okay, there's a few, okay. Well, if we believe he's God, serve him. Give him our heart. Give him our everything. But if we do not believe he's God, and we do not believe that Jesus, the Son of God, has died for our sins, and we owe no debt because he took it for us, if you don't believe that, what can we believe? There's nothing left outside of Jesus Christ because he's been given a name that's above every name. Every knee will bow, believe it or not, will bow and say, he is Lord to the glory of the Father. So don't think for a moment that we're going to slip by and fool God, because we're not. His intentions is to have a relationship with us that is through his Son, by the Spirit of God, so that we're walking in union with him in three parts, harmony there with the God of all glory. But we have to ask ourselves, is he really the God of glory? Now, some might believe that we were mopped and molded and from a zoo or from a goo. But I believe that the loving God of all creation, the loving God of the universe, I believe when he began to form man, he did it with tender, loving care because that was the one that was made in his image. That was the one that would proclaim his name. That was the one that was to show the world what God is like, because that fellowship. That's us. And then when he created Eve, man, I'm glad he created Eve, aren't you? I'm glad I have a helpmate. For 47 years, she's been my helpmate. I guess 49 if you count the time we're dated. She's been my helpmate. Matter of fact, she's been my inspiration. She's been my, well, sometimes she had to be the warden too, because she married a real knothead. But we need God's plan in our life. Every bit of it. Not just some of it, but every bit of it. So let's stand as we read God's word. Matthew chapter 16. Just going to read a few words. Everybody have your Bibles? Amen. The Bible says, according to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Matthew wrote these words. Verse 21 of 16. For that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and to raise again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him and said, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Twice he's done that. Get thee behind me, Satan. We need to examine who he is. Because Jesus said, Peter, you're an offense. You're an offense to me. You offend me. What would God say about us? Could he look at us and say, man, I'm telling you that you are an inspiration. Or would he say, I am disappointed? He told Peter, said, get behind me, Satan. You messed it up here. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Is he the one? We have to ask our question. Is he the one? Is he truly the one to me? Father, we love you. We're thankful that we had the privilege of coming together this morning, singing those songs of praise to you. And now to look at your precious word. Take your word, Lord. Use it for your glory. You said that it would not return to you void, but it would accomplish that what it's sent for. Lord, there's a number of people in here today. Every one of us needs a touch of the Master's hand. This morning, we all need to examine our own selves and see if we're truly in the faith. I know your word tells us that you have given a measure of faith to every man. Everyone has a measure of faith. So, Lord, I pray today we'd examine ourselves and say, Am I in the faith? Lord, I know there's times we live in that are tough. They really are. And we need your blessings here. Lord, I confess to you today that if you don't show up and anoint me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, Lord, I'm just standing here blabbering. But I pray an anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you, Lord, through me, would speak the words that you would have said. Guard these old lips. They would not say one thing, Lord, that you do not want them to say. But I would have the Holy Ghost boldness to tell the truth and to stand in the Word of God. And may the Word of God in its power change our life. May it lead us to be like Jesus in all that he is. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This is a really neat story right here with the way everything works out with here in this particular story. Because here's what I want us to understand. Asking ourselves, is he the one? Is he truly the one? Or is he just some man that had a good idea? Well, you know, we're not the first ones to even think that. Matter of fact, what's unusual about this story to me is if it don't happen just like what we expected to happen, we don't think it's of God. And I say that because, remember, before Jesus was born, Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth. Remember that? And John, who was John the Baptist, the Bible said he leaped for joy in the mother's womb. He recognized in the womb the God of glory was in the presence. But later in life, maybe everything hadn't come about the way John wanted it to come about. He had his disciples following him. He was doing what he believed that God wanted him to do, and he was. But see, he began to get confused. He began to worry. And I say that from this base. The Bible says, let me read it to you, if I can find it. The Bible says, when John heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? See, we can be around religion. We can be around doing what we believe God has, and yet we can be off focus. John said, are you the one? Or should we look for someone else? We need to ask ourselves that question. Is he the one? Or do we look for someone else? Because there's only two choices. That's him or self. Him or self. And John said, is he the one? And Jesus said, listen. He said, you go unto them and you show John again those things which we do. That you hear and see. You tell him what's happening, and you tell him the blind are receiving their sight. The lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Make up your mind who I am. Damon Lee version on that one. So this morning, let's stop. Everything out of our mind. There's nothing more important than what's happening right now. Nothing. So all those things of the world, just get them right out of your mind right now. Everything. And listen to the Spirit's beckoning. Listen to what thus saith the Word of God. Surely we can spend a few moments honoring Him. We're so busy the day we live in. So busy, we don't even hardly realize where we stand. We are meeting ourselves coming and going and afraid. Fear is everywhere. And it seems to me like everybody is losing their minds. The only thing that I know for real that can make our nation what our nation needs to be and to turn the world into what the world needs to be is the Son of God, Yeshua. Now, he can change things. The Bible says here that Jesus took a little retreat. They got over to Caesarea Philippi, and they stopped to rest, Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus asked, who do you think that I am? And see, that's what we have to say. Who do I think he is? Jesus said, who do you think I am? Now, listen, he's going to Calvary. His mission here with those men, all the teaching is about complete. He's just wanting to make sure they understand. Who do you say that I am? And oh, they begin to say all kinds of stuff. Oh, some say that you're Liza, some say you're this or that. He said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, being the boisterous one, he's making the mandate for everybody. He said, I believe you are the Son of God. That's who I think you are. I think you're the Son of God. Can you imagine when we get to that place where we really understand and really believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Can you imagine what that would do to our inner being? To that man who's been made alive, that human spirit that's been made alive unto God? Can you imagine what that would be for us? Would it change our lives? Would it change our thinking? Would it change the way we do things? Would it put a different light on things if we believe Jesus is the Son of God? Sound like he had it pretty good, had it down to the real thing. He understood everything that was going on. But disciples begin to learn something that Jesus had been telling them for 3 years, 3.5 years almost, that the day was going to come when he would have to suffer. The day is going to come when I'm going to have to suffer. Peter said, listen now, let's think about this. We need God to take hold of our hands. We need God to take hold of our arms. The Bible said that Peter grabbed Jesus by the arm. No, sir, you're not going there. And tried to pull him aside, he said. And the Bible says he rebuked Jesus for saying he had to go and suffer death. You ain't going there, he said. I'm going to make sure that don't happen. The one who said, you are the Son of God. In their minds, in all 12 of their minds, they were thinking, he is about to set up a kingdom. I'm going to have some position in the kingdom. I think they were looking out for themselves. Because, you know, the disciples would ask you, which one's the greatest of them? Which one's going to sit at your right hand? But Jesus knew his destiny. He tried to share that with Peter. Peter didn't accept it. Now, there's a lot of folks who don't accept what he's done for us. But the day was appointed that he was to go to Jerusalem. And the Bible says he was determined to go there. He had no choice. He had to die. There had to be a resurrection. There had to be a change. And that plan was the will of God from eternity past. It wasn't some last-minute band-aid on a problem. It was a thinking and will of God before he ever said, let there be light. He was already redeeming mankind before he ever said, let there be light. So see, we can look at this thing, and it's something that we can hold on to because it's not something that was some spare moment that he done something. It was the divine will of God. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for us, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that our hope is this. As I said, before he ever created the first thing, before he ever said, let there be light, before he ever put the stars in space and named them as they went, before that ever happened, he chose that we would come to him through Jesus Christ. John 1:12 says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, not by the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. He chose that. That when a man could identify Jesus, when they knew who he was, and they said, he is the Lamb of God, that was God's choice. God chose that we would come to him through Jesus Christ. Now listen, that makes it good for me. You know why? Because I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No good. I could easily, quickly send myself into death and hell. But Jesus has done something I couldn't do. He has lived a perfect life before the Father. He has offered himself a sacrifice for my sins. Those are things I couldn't do. Those were things that was impossible for man to do. And God chose that Jesus Christ would be our avenue to get us out of the situation that we're in. Everyone needs to confess him as Lord. There's something neat about this thing. Now listen, the devil's going to try to defeat us. He's going to try to beat us in the ground like a stick, tried to beat a stick in the ground. He's going to do everything he can to stop us from being productive Christian, to be productive in the kingdom of God, when God has said, we are the light. Are you shining? Is our lives productive for him? Or are we just playing the game? What is it with him? See, God made a promise in the garden. When man chose self over him. And that's exactly what they done. They said, well, I'm not choosing Jesus, I'm choosing me. When the old devil said, eat of this fruit and you will be like God. Simple. But at that very moment, God had already put into a plan our salvation. And he told Mary, and he told Adam, and he told the devil. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offsprings and her offsprings. He shall bruise his head, and you shall bruise his heel. Aren't you glad he was thinking of us? Way back when, he created man. You were on his mind. Oh, he knew you. He knew where you would stand. He knew what your thoughts would be. He knew the hair on your head. He knows you by name. And he knew you before the foundation of the world. Wow, what a God. What a God. And he proclaimed this battle would take place between Satan and man. That there would be a war that went on, a battle that takes place between God's, between the devil and between man. But God remedied that through Jesus Christ. Through him, the peace of God is made, and we can rejoice in that. 500 years before Jesus ever come, Zechariah was given a vision of the Savior. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming, righteous and having salvation, as he humbled and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He's coming, and he's coming in peace, because that's what that donkey represented. When a king would take a land, they would come in on fierce horses. Fire horses. But when they come in peace, they would come on the back of a donkey. The Savior of the world came into this world in the worst place he could have been born. In the stable of sheep, goats, and cows. I don't know what all was there. He came into that. But when he came to present himself to us, he came in peace. He came in peace. So we have to decide, do we want our life to be a life of battle? Because I'm going to tell you, and I've told you this 1,000 times, there is pleasure in sin for a season. If you are his child, if you believe in your heart, there is no pleasure in sin. There is misery in sin. You can become the most miserable person you've ever met if you're his and you believe that he is Lord, because our inner man wants so much to serve God without sin. There is that pull at us to become an enemy of God, but we want to be free to that. But we have to make that decision. God has not made us like a puppet on a string. He gave man the free will to choose. Listen, He gave man the free will to choose His way, not our way. And God provided the source for us. His name is Yeshua. What a Savior. What a Lord. Daniel prophesied Him 600 years before He ever come. He was well known by all. The prophets named Him time after time. And what did man do? They rejected Him, put Him to death, mocked Him, made fun of Him, and then took the very ones that He walked with, taught from His heart, and man mutilated them, pulled them apart by horses, sawed them in two, crucified them upside down. We have treated God without respect. We have treated God as if He's powerless. You think about this. What it's going to be like when we stand before Him. And I'm talking about the one who said, "Let there be light." And there was light. What is it going to be when we stand before Him? Are we going to be smart with Him? Are we going to do like we do now and ignore Him and just say, "Lord, I've got my way. My way is better than Your ways. I'm a better God than You are over my life." Now, we don't really say that out loud, but the things we do says that's what we're doing. See, our life is the mirror of our soul. And they are just reflecting what is in the very depths, especially at the moment of temptation. We all sometimes fall short of the glory of God. Should I say sometimes or all times? We have to say that He is the Lord of life. See, when we think about Him and His holiness, come into the, now get this, Adam and Eve was put in the perfect environment. Perfect. I mean, they literally walked with God every day. In the cool of the evening, He'd come down and they'd take a little stroll. I can just imagine Adam saying, "Lord, I saw this thing today and I called it a lion. I saw a giraffe today. I saw a T-Rex today." Because nothing's been made that was not made by Him. Amen? And they just had a little conversation every day until they decided they were a better God for their life than God was. We make that decision every day. Every day. How am I going to serve Him today? How am I going to get by Him today? How am I going to ignore Him today? How are we going to serve Him today? Those are the things we should ask ourselves. Because we have a Savior who loved us enough to come into this world and take all the shame. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine what it was like. That moment when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God, stepped out from the portals of heaven into this world. I cannot even imagine what the angels were saying. They might have been saying, "Go get him, Jesus. Go get him." crush his head. Who knows what they were saying? But they were coming in this world. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. But see, it don't matter who the world says he is. Because a lot of times we see the cross as useless. Useless. And they are those who take the cross and shame it. There are those who take the cross and say there is no cross where Jesus paid the price for all of our sins. No way. But the cross to us is the power of God unto salvation. It means so much, but it's not the cross. It's not those pieces of wood. It is the God of glory hanging on those between heaven and earth. That's what it's about. And to us, we see the cost that it cost for us to have life everlasting. I'm telling you, it's hard to be perfect. I've been perfect now almost for half a second, maybe. It's hard to be perfect. It's hard when we're his to be perfect. It's hard to be his when we're walking in the Word. It's hard to be his when we're walking in the night because our minds and our flesh is so desirous of sin. So, who is he? His death has done this for us. His death commands our obedience. How can we say that I believe it's him? Because if you believe it's him, my gracious, how do we think we learned that? How do we think we received that? Only by God. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to him unless they're drawn by the Spirit of God. We're all tangled up in the triunity of God. How in the world can we not see that and know that we should honor him and praise his name over everything? But we have a God who loves us. We have a God who has asked us, excuse me, not asked us, commanded us to love him, to serve him, to walk with him, to be obedient unto him. But we have to be willing to do it. He's not going to drag us along. Now, I don't know about you guys. Now, when I was young, my dad had a way of getting you to do things that you didn't want to do. He just drug you out there and made you do it, right? You just, you didn't get by with it. If he said, son, you better do it. Because if not, he would drag you out there and you would do it. But God don't ask us for nothing but to love him. That's all. Just love me is all he says. That's it. And when we do that, he will bless us every day. See, because we have to understand that he has to be who he said he was. And we don't get that unless we get it from the Spirit of God speaking to us, saying he's the one. That's him. He's the one. But when we think about the price that he had to pay, he said, if you follow me, you'll have to take up the cross. We have to take what he is, who he is, and we have to believe in the name of Jesus. We have to walk with him without doubt, without fear, knowing that he is Lord and he has paid the price on Calvary's cross. Through the turmoil and the pain and the suffering? Who will disregard him? Who will ignore him? Who will not give their absolute best to him? Well, what about us? What about us? Whenever it comes to our relationship with him, what do we give? Where do we place ourselves? Who do we see him as? And is his death my life? If he had not died for our sins, where would our life be? I'm telling you now, Jesus Christ has given us life. And he says that if you find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll find it. That just simply means this: when we get all of ourselves. See, the more he fills us, the more the garbage he pushes out. Because we're filled with garbage. The Bible says none is righteous, no, not one. So we have a lot of junk. But the Holy Spirit is the spring of living water. Remember that? That's what he told the lady at the well. He said, "Give me, the water you give me, or I give you, will be a well of water springing up in you." See, that's what he wants to give us. When we understand who he is, he wants to take our life and fill us with his spirit, and then take all that gook that we have allowed in our life, to take it out of our life so it can glorify him. I know it's Easter. Well, it will be next week anyway. But on this day right here, I want you to know him headed to the cross. The angels are probably looking down and saying, "Jesus, just say no. Just say no." But he thought about you, had you on his mind, and all he's asked us to do is to give him our love. Surrender our hearts to him, surrender our lives to him, follow after him, and understand that, yes, we will make mistakes. But he is a loving, forgiving God. And the Spirit who lives within us, if we confess it, if we really look at him with a broken and contrite spirit and ask him to forgive us, I'm telling you what will happen to us is we will be forgiven. Yes, there's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be some in and outs, I guess, maybe. But Jesus said we must follow him. We must follow him. That means to be a student, to be a disciple, to take our time and learn who he is. We need to seek a union with him. I'll be glad when it gets back to where those guys as a part of our fellowship are comfortable coming. Maybe in a couple of weeks, all this stuff, we'll get back and we can see the place filled up and the hollering and the screaming, not the hollering and screaming, but see the joyful faces and I'll say that, the joyful faces and the smiles and the songs and the voices lifted up together. I can't wait for that. Because I can't wait now for Sunday to come. I mean every Sunday. I've enjoyed every Sunday this past year. I've enjoyed preaching over on the property. I've enjoyed preaching over there when I was sweating to death. I enjoy sitting over there on the property with the old OGC freezing to death. We've done that a few times too. I love being together. Now, if I love being together, how much more does God love us being together? How much more does he enjoy that communion we have with him? And how do we have that communion with him? How do we? Are we active in the Word of God? Are we active in worship where we can worship and when we will worship? See, when we take up our cross, just as he did, we die to ourselves. All of us, I'm telling you, who's been born of God, our lives have been majorly changed. majorly changed. But see, here's the thing. We got to think this right here. Paul told the church at Galatia, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not me living. Here's the point. Yes, we've been crucified, but it's not us living, it's Christ living in us. And are we letting him be seen in us? I hope so. We got a bunch of good people here. People that love the Lord. And I want us to be active in our own fellowship with him. When we abandon ourselves and seek him and determine he's the one, we've got no choice. The only choice we've got is just simply this. Follow him. Put everything else aside and follow him. Don't let nothing disrupt my fellowship with him. Don't let nothing derail me. But just follow him. Sometimes it'll lead us to a mountaintop where we can rejoice. Sometimes it'll lead us in the valley where we can learn. There's nothing wrong with the valley because we learn in the valley. When we get on the top of the mountain, though, that's when we shine to the world so that they might see. God loves you. And he wants us to be his disciples. He wants us to be his mouthpiece. He wants us to be light. So, I'll close on this. We can leave the same as we come. Hopefully we won't, because we've had this hour together. But if we do not decide who he is, our lives are going to be miserable. Let me tell you why. About this far out of the will of God makes a life miserable. If we're his children, we need to walk in his presence. What better time to say, Lord, crucify my life in Christ. Crucify my life so that when I'm living, it's really you living. So that we might touch people's lives. Oh, man, there's people everywhere needs their lives touched by God's people. This world is becoming an enemy of God's people. But we know who the victor is. So this one, will you choose for yourself and decide who is he? Is he the one I'm supposed to? That's what John said. Now listen, John knew him. They were cousins. They grew up together. And John had to ask, are you the one? Now, I'm going to go ahead and throw this in for next week, all right? If he had been just a man, like all the other prophets and whoever they were, if that had been who he is, his death would have been meaningless. The cross would have been meaningless. But what solidified and guaranteed who he was on that third day. On that third day when he was risen from the dead. That said, this is not a normal man. This is something different about him. He's not the same as the other ones that's been buried. He's life. Those who have the Son have life. Those who have not the Son have not life. We might be good people, but let me tell you, good people don't get us to heaven. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that gets us there. So who is he? We have to choose. I can't choose for Wanda. She can't choose for me. It's me that's got to choose. So will you do that today? If I believe he's God, and I do, I want to give my life to him. I want him to control my life. I want my life and my decision to be determined by who he is. But now if he's not, and I don't think that he is, I'm not going to follow him. That's your decision. Mine, I will follow him. Yours, I hope the same.